GoodSuccess.com. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the privilege to learn from you again today. Be magnified in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that you visit everyone in the name of Jesus. Let no one return back the same way, and grant everyone an encounter they will never recover from, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. The topic remains Stepping Out in the Face of Doubt, Part 2. Based on the scripture that we read, it says, every branch that doesn't bear fruit, it will take away, and every branch that bears fruit, it will clean it up so that it can bear more fruit. And last week, we were able to understand that stepping out is the real deal. 10 years of planning and programming does not equal one step forward. And then we understood that what actually leads to doubt is double-mindedness and indecision. Then that is caused because we have a lot of options. So today we are going to continue with a topic which is Stepping Out in the Face of Doubt, Part 2. And we are going to jump right into it. And I pray God blesses every one of us in Jesus' name. We are going to continue with the subtopic that says, what are the enemies of taking action? What actually stops us from going ahead to take actions? So number one is fear. And I think we did that last week. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then number two is procrastination. That's pushing forward to tomorrow what you should do today. Pushing forward to next hour, next minute, what you should do right now. It actually eats into life. It eats into days. So we must be very careful of procrastination. Like I always say, procrastination is the thief of time. Things done halfway are never done well. Then number three, where we are going to spend a long time today, as God permits us, is waiting for perfect conditions. Waiting for perfect conditions is one of the reasons why people don't step out. In fact, it is their cause of doubts. We'll be spending a long time there today. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, he who watches the wind will not plant his seeds, and he who looks at the clouds will not gather the food. That's New Life Version. And then the Living Bible says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. Now, I think I was saying it last week that I have not made any major decisions of life before that I think I was perfectly sure this was the will of God for me at the time I stepped out to start making the decision. I only felt like this should be what I should do at this time, and I just started taking steps. Just like many people, many guys, many brothers, many sisters, I always scared and waiting for the perfect time to get married. Just like when I have my car or when I start making this amount of money and all that. But that's not the first thing to do. The first thing to do is to even pray. Yes, you are thinking whether somebody is the right person. Why not just pray first? Do your research. Find out about that person. What kind of character does this person have? That's the first thing to do. Because you're not even going to get married immediately. So why not just take the other step that won't even cost you anything? You want to start a business, you don't wait for perfect conditions and wait till you have millions in your account that you want to start a business. If you have millions in your account, then why do you need to start a business? Because you have all the money already. So the first thing to do is not even to have the money. No, the first thing to do would be to do your research. Find out about a business. Learn about a business. For example, somebody wants to start a multi-million business. You're like, oh, let me just go and rent that office so that I will look like the person who should run that business. No. Maybe all you need to have is a desktop computer that once they take light like this, it just goes off. Or you know that kind of laptop. I've had it before. It's called desktop laptop. That once they take light, it also goes off too. No battery, nothing. And then that's how we started. And today is not the same. I remember when I was going to learn a lot of software then, I didn't even have money to buy a laptop. And I prayed to God. I was born again. I was praying. Other prayers were getting answered. But it's like something's just blocking this laptop thing from coming. I will pray, God, send me a laptop. I want to just provide it miraculously. Let me tell you how long it took me to have my first laptop. Maybe somebody will be encouraged today not to wait for perfect conditions. You know, when I was in school, I started learning a lot of software. I think when I was in part 3 in the university, that was year 2018. That was when I really wanted to have a laptop, by all means. And then 2018, I didn't have a laptop. 2019, I didn't have a laptop. 2020, I didn't have a laptop. 21, I didn't have my first laptop until I think 2022 or thereabouts. That was when I had my first laptop. Used one, bought at Ikeja, used laptop. Maybe they used it for 20 years first before I bought it. And guess what? I learned all the software I needed to learn without having a laptop. How did I do it? When I was in university then, my friends would go and watch Arsenal, Man U. I didn't even have a football club. Thank God for that. So when they go to watch, I just begged them, please, can I use your laptop while you go to watch ball? They say, oh, of course, okay. They just give the laptop to me. So I started learning all the software one by one. And before I left school, I started training them how to use the same software, and I was charging them. Then I was borrowing laptop from laptop to laptop and all that, and I was learning and learning. When I went to SAB also, I still wanted the laptop. God, when will I have a laptop? And then I had some people in the family house that all they used their laptop for was to watch movies. So I'll beg them, can I use your laptop to do my business? And they said, oh, of course, if I'm not using it. And then I had somebody literally leave a laptop with me for almost 1 year of service. One person did it, she was tired. Another person gave it to me again. I mean, they left it. They were not using it to watch movie again. They just left it for me. And then when I finished serving and I started working, I still couldn't afford a laptop. Somebody in my place of work also left a laptop for me like that for a long time, for several months, for me to use. I'm sharing this story to show you that don't ever give yourself any excuse not to take action this year. Conditions will not be perfect. The foundation will not look perfect. Just step ahead. You want to start a church? You don't wait until you are able to buy land and build a church. No. In your sitting room, in the corner of the street, you can start it there. People will join together. It's where two or three are gathered. That's what the Bible says. It's not until anything is perfect. So, this is just a lesson for you and I that nothing must be perfect. I'm also going to share another story. Today is a day of sharing a story. When I wanted to get married, I think I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again. All I had in my account as at, I think, November till the February I wanted to get married. By the way, today is my wedding anniversary, 7 years of marriage. I praise God for that. As at that time, I almost didn't have anything in my account. And somehow, my mom just sent $35,000 to me. I don't know why she did. She wasn't sending money to me. I wasn't asking her for money, but she just sent it to me. So I had $35,000 in my account, more like a seed for me to get married. And then with that money, we bought wedding gown. A little extra money that my wife was able to gather when she was serving, she bought my suit. We had wedding gown, wedding suit with, I won't tell you less than how much we bought everything. And it was good. Guess what? We went to Lagos Island, trekked until we found a good one. The same thing that they would have sold for like maybe double or triple the price in mainland, we bought it for a very cheap price, and it's high quality, and that's what we use for our wedding. But because we sold that seed, we bought clothes, because all you need in a wedding is to have clothes and you yourself be there. That's the major thing you need in a wedding. Any other thing is extra, apart from bride price and all that. And guess what? Everything started falling into place because we took that step of faith. Remember, the topic is still stepping out in the face of doubts. There will be so many doubts coming your way. But if you can just have enough faith to step out. Stepping out is the major thing. Stepping out. We took that step. We bought our clothes and we were looking at the clothes. Every other thing should work. And we still fixed it for February 11, 2017. By November, all I had was 35. And we gathered money together. We bought suit and gown. And guess what? By December, I had sack letter from my place of work to make things worse. Yet, the spirit of faith was still at work. It was not faith, it was the spirit of faith, because that one is not normal again. Now, you didn't even have money. Now, they just sacked you from the work, they were not paying you for several months. I was in that work, they were not paying us for several months. And guess what? As we resumed January, they paid me all the backlog of the money they were owing. And I had more than enough to host the wedding. That was God at work. But if you didn't step out, there will not be any wedding anyway. So, why am I sharing this today? No matter what you want to do and accomplish this year, don't look at your resources. God always says, what is in your hand? What was in my hand then? 35,000. And at the end of the wedding, we spent close to $1 million in that wedding. That I don't know how it came. God was supplying here and there. And I did not beg. I did not even imply to anyone that I needed money. The same thing with my wife. In fact, we decided not to invite some people intentionally so that they won't think we needed money. And guess some people will get angry. Why didn't you invite me? Oh yeah, take. We didn't beg. We didn't ask. We didn't borrow. But God took over. So whatever you want to accomplish in life, don't let anything hinder you. Step out in faith. Faith is all that is required. Step out in faith. Don't wait for perfect conditions. That is what that scripture says. It says, he who watches the wind will not get things done. If you are waiting for perfect conditions, then nothing should be done. And guess what I saw also? I will step it up again by saying perfectionism. Waiting for perfect conditions is one. Then, expecting everything to be perfect is another hindrance to taking actions. I have been a victim of this for many years. Everything is almost never clear from the beginning. Don't think the vision will be perfectly clear. No, it never becomes perfectly clear. It will only be blurry. Have you ever driven at night before and all the headlamps are coming ahead of you? You don't see perfectly, but you still use the inner eyes. That's what you use to drive at those situations. You know, some drivers are bad. Some people that are coming, they put their headlamp on. They can't even dim it. Even when you dim your own, they don't know anything about that. Just keep driving like that. You have to use some wisdom to drive ahead. That's how vision is sometimes. It is not perfectly clear, but you still have to move ahead. Because as you keep moving, it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. Almost everything is never clear from the beginning. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then something happened. Everything was blurry. Everything was scattered. Everything didn't look like what God wanted. And God started shuffling them one by one. Let there be light. Let this happen. Let this happen. Don't be too much after perfectionism. Don't be saying everything must be perfect. Almost no beginning is ever perfect. In fact, there will be no promises that it will be perfect. It may look like the worst time to start anything. This year, for example, especially the economy in Nigeria and so many other places in the world, see, the heat is being felt all over the world. Maybe Nigeria's case is unique. But there is depression, there is inflation everywhere. But you know what? Don't look at those things. That is looking at the wind. You know what the wind is? You can't see the wind, you can't hold it with your hand. So don't look at it because it is vanity. Look at what God has said and step ahead in faith. The difference between excellence and perfection, let me show you. There is nothing called perfection. It is vague. It is non-existent. The only thing that exists is excellence. Look at all the things that God has created. Start from yourself. Are you perfect? God only leaves room for growth and improvement. God hardly creates anything that is perfect. He creates excellent things. He can make them perfect, but if they are perfect, then nothing needs to be improved upon. So why do we exist on earth? God said, he made man in his own image, and he said, he gave him the garden. The garden was not perfect. If it was perfect, he wouldn't have told the man to tend and care for it. So anything God gives you is like a garden. If you have seen a seed before that you put to the ground, it doesn't look like anything. But until you put it down, you water it, you weed the environment, you give it manure, then it begins to grow and grow and grow. The same thing with any vision that God has given you. It will not be perfect. In fact, it will be far from being perfect. It will be far from anything good. But all you need to do is put it down, sow it, water it, weed all the unnecessary things off, and begin to nurture it, and then it will grow and have results. And I pray that as we all step out this year in faith, that business you want to start that you're always scared, looking at the perfect condition, step out. Give it some extra hours. Maybe you don't want to go all in because of your job. Why not just create some extra hours? The extra hours that you spend on movies, spend it on that business. Even if it's to study that business, it's a step. So let's just step ahead this year and forget perfectionism. It's an enemy of taking actions. It's an enemy of progress. Look for excellence. What is excellence? When you score above 69, 70, that is excellence. Guess what? People don't know the difference between excellence, maybe A1, A2. See, once you get 70, you have passed or you have crossed over, and in some places it's 75. Once you've crossed that border, it is good enough. It is good enough for you to go ahead. All these fathers of faith, when they started, nothing looked like they should even go ahead, but they still stepped ahead. Business, the same thing. All these great businesses that you see today, some people said they started in their garage. I know some of us don't even have garage at all, so it's good. But what I'm just trying to say today is, whatever looks like garage to you, to them, it's like the best way. If you want to start a business, you know, normally in those days, there was nothing like online business. You have to rent a space and start a business there. So that's why they always say, oh, we started it in a garage. For you, your garage may be your laptop. For you, your garage may be your phone. There are many businesses you can do on your phone today. So please, don't let anything stop you. And the other point we're going to talk about today is impatience. It's one of the enemies of taking action. Impatience. Isaiah 28:16. Let me start from the beginning. It says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. There's a thin line between promptness and impatience. Now, the Bible encourages us to be prompt, to take action right on time. When you're supposed to do something, to just take the action immediately. That is what the Bible says. But we can mistake that with impatience. They are two different things. They are very, very different from each other. How do you know impatience, and how do you separate it from promptness? Promptness is an act of faith, an act of obedience. That is promptness. However, impatience is an act of unbelief. For example, God says something will happen. You didn't even finish to hear the instructions. You jumped ahead. You started doing it. For example, God said, it's going to give you a multi-million business. And you wanted to arrive there tomorrow. I mean, it doesn't happen that way. You need to go through the process. So, how do you know promptness? Your promptness is to step ahead and take the first step. To begin to now take it step by step by step. But impatient will say, I want to arrive at that end tomorrow, like right now. That's impatience. That's the difference between the two. So, promptness is by faith and obedience. Whereas, impatience is hurry. It's because you don't believe. It's because you don't want to go through the step. That is what causes impatience. But I pray today that God will release to us the fresh grace to be patient. The Bible says we should bear our yoke in our youth. That means every step that we need to follow, we should be ready to follow it through. Without saying, I need to get there yesterday. No. You know, we serve the God of speed. God grants speed. But guess what? Go and check everybody that give testimony in church. Just go and ask them. Before they add that speed, ask them how many years they have to wait for. So I was talking about laptop now. See how many years it took me to have one laptop. Do you know how many laptops some people had when I was in school? Maybe they will even change laptop. Where's your former laptop? I don't like it again, so I just got another one. I'm like, me, I'm just expecting one. It's just one. Used one is what I need, and I didn't get it. And it took me several years. And I realized later that what God was showing me was that, see, it's not as if I can't provide a laptop for you. I was just showing you that, see, you don't have to buy something for you to have it. You can have anything. I can put anything in your hands. I can touch the heart of men and women to give to you, to make sure you use something without you having to buy it. That means I don't have to buy a house. I can get a house. I can receive the gift of a house. I can receive the gift of a car. I don't have to buy. It's sweet when you buy, but it's also sweet when somebody gives without you borrowing, without you manipulating them. It's possible. So God showed me that possibility. Do you think it is normal for somebody to give his or her laptop? There is something you want to do with that laptop. That's why you have it. I'm talking about those times somebody that gave me a laptop will come and beg me, "Now, Femi, please, can I use my laptop tomorrow?" I'm like, "Is your laptop now?" They will come and beg that, "Can I use it, please?" And I was using it continuously. Not that I will use it today and return it. No, I was using it continuously for months without them asking for it. That was what God did. So God is saying, don't bring any limitation to me. Anything you want to get done, you can get it done if you trust me. So what you have learned today is, number one, don't wait for perfect conditions. Number two, don't be a perfectionist, because it is not true. It is not possible to be perfect. What can happen is excellence. That means you are above par. You are above the normal thing that happens. But perfection is a lie. If you think something is perfect today, come tomorrow, you will see an imperfection in it. That shows you it wasn't perfect in the first place. So, don't run after perfectionism. Run after excellence. Once you achieve excellence, praise God, move to the next stage, because you won't achieve that perfection. So, that's the second lesson. Third thing, trust God for any step you want to take. Trust God, because God can make it happen. And learn to follow God step by step by step. That's why I always say that, see, instead of us chasing after, "I want to hear what God said, I want to hear what God said." It's good. I love it when I hear God's voice saying, "This is what you should do." It's always sweet and good. But you know what we should chase after? God's leading and guidance. Leading and guidance does not mean you hear a voice. It could mean that God is taking your hand and guiding you. Where I am today, I never could see it coming. But I saw now, when I look back, that God was just guiding me with every step. Every step. Every step. I remember when he told me, web design. How will I know that it will be a major business that I'll be doing now? Not even what I studied in school. Guiding step by step. That is how you overcome. When God says, step ahead, don't ask questions. And as we go today, just remember this analogy. When an adult holds a child, a toddler, and you are taking him on the way, he doesn't question to say, "Daddy, where are we going? Is it to the right or to the left?" No. They just follow and enjoy every step of the way. You carry him, he's happy. He wants to pee, I want to pee. He wants to poo, I want to poo. He doesn't care about anything. The only person who worries is the person taking him along the way. Let us step out this year with our faith in God. That the person who does the warning is God. All you do is the execution. If he says go this way, you just go that way. If he says step this way, you step that way. And I pray that as we become that foolish, in quotes, in following God, may the wisdom of God also make us excellent and excel in life, in the name of Jesus. I pray that as we step out this year, without looking at the doubts or uncertainties, as we step out in faith, I pray that God also will answer you speedily, in the name of Jesus. And like the story I shared before, I just want to celebrate my wife again today for being with me these 7 years, for having the mad faith with me that without money you can even say you want to get into marriage. And we both saw how God supplied, how God made it a wonder, that within months of trusting God, God just turned things around. That is exactly what it means for an adult to hold a child and carry him along the way. If you take that step this year, that, "God, I won't look at my circumstances, I will just look at you. Anything you see I should do, I will do it." We see God at work. I will see God at work. And I pray that God helps us, that as we step out in that faith this year, we see unusual results. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We've come to the end of the episode today, and I pray in the name of Jesus that we all receive fresh grace, special grace, to be able to step out in the name of Jesus. special grace to be able to step out is released to every one of us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So how many of us promise that we're going to step out in faith this week? That thing you've been contemplating and thinking and overthinking, that you will take a step forward, at least to do a research, or at least to pray about it. How many of us promise that this week? That you know you will take a major step ahead. And remember, it is always impossible until you step out. In fact, you can't even know the possibilities until you step out. Just take one thing. See, I've learned the power of one thing. What I used to do before that, I used to write like 5 things, 7 things I need to achieve in a day. But I've changed my strategy and I see that it's more impactful. So what I do now is this. I have what I call a must-do list. Then I have a to-do list. Then I have a may-do list. It's helped me. My must-do list is mostly one thing. That is that one thing I must do that day. That no matter what, if I don't do it, it looks like that day is a failure. That's how I judge it now. Then my to-do list are the things that are maybe, especially in my business, these are the things like maybe a client sent an email, I need to check the email, I need to respond, I need to do all the normal things that keep the business running. These are the to-do list. I don't measure progress by that anymore. They are the things that need to be done. But my must-do list, majorly, will be something that will help the business to grow. In fact, it may not have an immediate impact, but it will help the business to grow. Then may-do is, if I do it, fine. If I don't do it, fine. So, this week, look at that must-do thing, that this week, I must take a step. Maybe you wanted to learn something. You wanted to start a program. You wanted to start a training. You wanted to even plan your marriage. Take a major step this week as God helps you. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. If it's business, take a major step. Ask questions. Spend money to buy a book in that line. Hire somebody. Pay for some training online. It may even look like, I'm not sure. Pay. You may have to waste so many money. But let me tell you, knowledge is not wasted. Take that step and you will see how God will reward that action of faith. Let's just pray together. Father, release unto me the spirit of faith that steps out in the face of doubt in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray for everyone today that you release unto us the spirit of faith that steps out in the face of doubt in the name of Jesus. Release to every one of us the spirit of faith that steps out in the face of doubt in the name of Jesus. That even if it feels like it doesn't make sense, as long as you have impressed it in our heart, we will step out. Lord, release that grace to everyone. Release that spirit of faith to everyone in the name of Jesus. So shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Remember, faith always works when you do it with a genuine heart. Take that step of faith this week and come and share your testimony next week. How many people promise that they will not keep their testimony but share it next week? If you are like that, put a 1 in the chat that if I have this testimony, I will come and share it. Just put it in the chat and you will have the testimony. In Jesus' name, amen. So see you next week. And please, like I say every week, even though almost nobody does it, invite someone. Remember, when you bring people to this blessing, I know some people share it on their status. God bless you and reward you also. Some people share the link to remind people here. God bless you also in the name of Jesus. And people who have done it before, God bless you. All I'm asking is do it more. Invite other people. And you see God also rewarding you in Jesus' name. See you next week and be blessed.
The good success has come.